It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Joe Biden's federal budget proposal for 2025 is a $7.3 trillion spending plan. We look at aspects of it, especially what could impact Wisconsin. And we explore your questions and comments. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Chris Cox is Deputy Director of Federal Tax Policy for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. That is a nonpartisan think tank. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much. Nice to be here.
Okay, so $7.3 trillion budget. What are your top line takeaways? What's unique about this budget?
Yeah, so this budget really takes a sound approach to key decisions that have to be made next year. So regardless of what happens in the elections this November, Congress is going to have to decide on key tax policies next year when the 2017 Trump tax cuts expire. And the president's budget proposes making the tax code fairer by increasing taxes on wealthy people and profitable corporations, and then investing in people, communities, and the economy.
So the president says his budget plan would cut the deficit by $3 trillion over the next decade with tax hikes on corporations and high-income earners. Billionaires would be required to pay a quarter of their income on taxes. What can you tell us about these taxes for wealthy people?
You know, currently, many wealthy people are able to shield their income from annual taxation. So while wage earners, you know, report their taxes each year and pay taxes on the wages that they earn, many wealthy people get the bulk of their income from capital income, from investments, and they pay very little or no tax on that income on an annual basis. And so what this budget does is it scales back these really inefficient tax breaks that are costly and really unfair, that allow the wealthiest households to continue to pay little to no tax on an annual basis.
President Biden said yesterday that no billionaire should pay a lower tax rate than a teacher or a sanitation worker, a nurse. Is that the case now?
You know, the budget increases taxes on wealthy individuals and corporations in a variety of different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, so there isn't one silver bullet that sort of makes the tax code more fair, but the budget chooses a variety of different tax policies that would do that. Again, under current law, there are special tax rates for capital income that are just not available to working people whose income primarily comes from wages. Mm-hmm. And the budget seeks to push back on that tax break. The budget also calls for extending funding for the IRS to improve taxpayer services and to go after wealthy people who are evading taxes and not paying what they owe. So there are a number of ways that the budget seeks to make the tax code more fair, particularly for wealthy people who often pay little or no tax on much of their income on an annual basis.
And so, as you say, this budget pushes back on those highest income earners. Would this budget make the federal government more reliant on a smaller subset, if you will, of taxpayers?
It's important when thinking about tax policy where the money sits. And what, under current law, again, so many people with high incomes, often their income is not taxed on an annual basis. So it is a sound and reasonable approach to increase taxes on wealthy individuals and corporations that often face, again, lower effective tax rates than working people, and have largely been able to avoid paying annual taxes or pay very little in comparison. The budget, revenues are drawn from a broad base of people. So the budget proposes to make the tax code more fair by bringing kind of everyone into more reasonably bringing everyone into paying the taxes that support the important investments that the federal government makes. And on that regard, it also asks high-income individuals and corporations who benefit from the investments that government makes in infrastructure and education to pay a fair share of tax.
The president also pledged to reject raising taxes on anyone earning less than $400,000 a year. And for 2021, the IRS reported that the top 5% of Wisconsin's earners had a median income of $218,000. And the Census Bureau reporting that median income of all earners in Wisconsin is just over $72,000. So what is significant about this, the president's pledge to not raise taxes on people who earn less than $400,000?
Yeah, this was a campaign pledge that we saw when the president was first elected, and that has continued. You know, what I think is again really important is that the 2017 tax cuts were very skewed to the wealthy. They were very expensive, and they failed to deliver on the economic promises that their proponents had. And so, one thing that's clear is when those tax cuts expire, what we should not be doing is extending tax cuts for people who are making above $400,000. We can have a discussion about whether that is the right line to draw. And for, many people, that seems like a very high income. At the same time, what's very clear is people making above that amount should not have their tax cuts extended.
Chris Cox focuses on federal tax policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities as we dig into aspects of President Biden's proposed federal budget for the next fiscal year. And you can call in with a question, share your comments at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Congress still debating appropriations for the 2024 budget year, but the White House is looking ahead with its 2025 spending proposal. We explore the $7.3 trillion plan and potential effects on Wisconsin. Call in with a question. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Chris Cox with us, Deputy Director of Federal Tax Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Chris, is it unusual for an administration to propose a budget for 2025 when 2024 appropriations are still being hashed out by Congress? I mean, what do you make of those dynamics?
Yeah, this is such a tricky one this year, because we're seeing right now Congress in the midst of discussion for the spending bills for this current year. But this has been the co congressional discussion has been delayed. And so it's important for the budget discussion to get started for the next year. The president's budget typically in a normal year would mark the start of a year-long process that culminates in Congress, passing legislation that would set the spending levels for the year. So it's right that Congress is quite busy with spending bills for this year and won't be able to kind of start on thinking about next year until it's done. And
It seems like the White House is sending the message like, you can still hash that out, but we're moving on here. We've got things that we want to set priorities for. What happens if no budget is approved by Congress and the president?
If spending bills are not approved for the coming year, then there are cases where we have seen government shutdown. Now, part of the spending bills have been continued, so this is something that's still very much in progress. But the president's budget is just the first step in this longer process, and we're right now seeing the current year's end of that process, where the House and the Senate have to agree on funding levels and send a bill to the president's desk to be signed. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the current year spending bills, but that would be the That is the outcome that's needed to avoid a government shutdown.
Yeah, work in progress there. So the president in this budget proposal is calling for new spending on social programs, and I want to take a look at that. He called for making the child tax credit that was expanded as part of the American Rescue Plan, wants to make that permanent. How did this tax credit work?
The child tax credit, supports families who have children, gives them money that helps them to buy groceries, pay for diapers, pay for childcare. And in 2021, it was temporarily expanded for just 1 year to be a larger credit and to reach families with children and families with low incomes, regardless of their income. And we saw this have wild success in 2021. It reduced this expansion of the child tax credit, reduced the number of children in poverty by more than 40%. I mean, just
Wow.
very striking evidence. And this president's budget proposes to continue that expansion for 2 additional years and to make some more minor changes on a permanent basis.
What other things stand out to you in the form of social programs in this budget proposal?
You know, this budget invests in a variety of things that would, a variety of programs that would have meaningful impacts on people's lives. So, just a couple examples, you know, the nutrition assistance program for pregnant and postpartum parents and young children, WIC, Women, Infant, and Children, it funds that. It reduces the cost of prescription drugs and expands health coverage. The budget reduces housing costs and proposes a national paid leave program, and many more things.
We are talking with Chris Cox, Deputy Director of Federal Tax Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and taking a deeper dive in the proposed federal budget for 2025. You can join in along the way, questions and comments, 800-642-1234. So, President Biden visited Milwaukee this week, highlighting this budget proposal, including $3.3 billion for infrastructure spending in dozens of cities to help rectify damages that communities of color saw from redlining and from urban renewal projects.
These investments advance my Justice 40 initiative to deliver at least 40% of all the benefits from clean transit, clean energy, and climate investment to disadvantaged communities. That's a commitment I made and we're keeping. Here in Milwaukee will mean $36 million in new federal funding to rebuild Sixth Street.
So, what would Biden's budget plan mean for cities in Wisconsin like Milwaukee?
My focus is really on the federal level, and there would be experts who could speak to what the budget would do for Milwaukee and for specific cities. On the previous point that we were talking to about the child tax credit proposal and its expansion, that would reach an estimated 630,000 families in Wisconsin who would benefit from that. So there are ways that the budget reaches in and supports families in Wisconsin.
Republican leaders in the House called the president's budget proposal, quote, a roadmap to accelerate America's decline. What could happen to the budget and this vision from here?
Because the president's budget is sort of a first step to a year-long budget process, you know, it is the starting document that says these are the priorities of the administration. This is how they believe they should invest in people, in communities. With Republicans in control of the House of Representatives, this budget will not pass as is. just like normal process, the House and Senate will go back and forth, and then ultimately will have to agree on funding levels that they would then send to be signed into law by the president.
The budget calls for a 2% federal employee pay raise. And according to the Federal News Network, it's well below what some House and Senate Democrats are calling for next year. What do you make of this pay raise proposal? Is it in line with the rest of the budget?
I can't speak to the pay raise specifically, but again, the budget makes some sound investments in people and communities, and again, sets out spending levels for all of the areas that the federal government is involved in. So it is really a massive document that seeks to set priorities in just a wide swath of areas that touch people's lives.
Let's go to Sherry now. Sherry, hi, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. What is on your mind?
Hi, I really appreciate this conversation that's occurring. I just have a question for your guest. I feel that you, the host, have asked some wonderful questions about how the budget cuts for the wealthy are going to help them evade taxes. However, I felt like you've tried to ask some questions to give more specific answers as to how, other than that specific role that she's saying is going to benefit the rest of us. I understand that money
is. I have to jump in here, Sherry, and cut. Chris, very quickly, what would people who are not billionaires benefit from in this budget?
Speaking again about the child tax credit, this is something that would deliver broad-based benefits to families. Roughly 65 million children across the country would see benefits from this, and an estimated 630,000 families in Wisconsin would see their child tax credit go up from the proposal in the president's budget. That's just one of many examples.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.